The Maryland Stadium authorities concluded there's been significant deterioration to the northern section of those seats over the years, so 6,500 of them are unsafe. Some Baltimore lawmakers say the announcement's only a ploy by the track's ownership group to move the race to its other property, Laurel Park, which is located between Washington, D.C. and Baltimore. A former independent counsel says redactions in the Mueller report, which is expected to be released tomorrow, are only fair. Here's USA Radio's Rick Vinson.
President Donald Trump tells KSTP in Minneapolis he's not worried about the release of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report, saying it'll show the now-closed Russia investigation was a total phony. Former independent counsel Ken Starr tells Fox News it's proper that portions of the Mueller report being made public will be redacted.
Frustrating as it is, people would want to see more. The privacy of individuals is very important. If they haven't been charged with crime, their names shouldn't be dragged through the mud.
And John Hepburn won nearly $500,000 on a lottery ticket that nearly blew away. He says he has a habit of putting the tickets in his car door. More than one's been lost to a gust of wind. It nearly happened with that winning ticket. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on 100 in Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you. It's a beautiful day.
The weather for Hunterdon County. This afternoon is mostly sunny with a high near 60, a slight chance of showers after 9 p.m. tonight, otherwise mostly cloudy with a low of 47. Tonight, Thursday, a chance of showers, cloudy with a high near 65, and Thursday night, a slight chance of showers, mostly around 58. And let's see, Friday, showers with thunderstorms possible around 2 p.m., high of 72. Friday, showers and possibility of thunderstorms. Friday night, Saturday, chance of showers. And then on Sunday, Easter Sunday, it looks like a chance of showers, but in the morning and then partly sunny with a high near 63. And it is currently 58.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on 100 in Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@100-chamber.org.
When friends are not enough and you are struggling with depression, anxiety, or addiction, it's time to seek out help. Mental health is one of the most important building blocks to a healthy life. Tune into Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon and listen to many topics that pertain to good mental health. With Ruth Altamura Roll, a licensed professional counselor, as your host, you will learn about many facets of good mental health. Let's remove the stigma. Go to www.altarolecounselor.net for more information about my practice. And please follow me on Counselor's Chat on Facebook. Remember, Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon. I wish you good mental health.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamura Roll, your host for today's program. I have my master's in counseling. I'm a licensed professional counselor, nationally certified, also as a counselor. And I am with Amber Polczyski.
Yes,
boy, it's taking me like months to get it right. And Amber is joining me. She is an intern at Centenary University. She's getting her master's in counseling. And she's been kind of shadowing me this semester just to learn a little bit about what it's like to be in private practice. A lot of work, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. You are working currently at Carrier
yes.
Clinic.
Yes.
What do you see as part of the difference between working in an agency like Carrier Clinic and private practice?
Huge differences. Well, first of all, they're living there. It's an inpatient program. Usually it's just to like really help if a patient's been brought to the ER, they come to us and we kind of get them stabilized on medications. We do a lot of group counseling. They meet with their social worker to come up with this treatment plan. And yeah, there's just, you don't really get to see the one-on-one aspect is when they do meet with their social worker, you don't really get to go in and see what that's like, and it's more just discussing how we're going to move you on to the next place, so. And then in this field, and the private practice, you just really get to see the real one-on-one interaction with the counselor and the client, which I think is so important, because I do think group counseling is important as well, but it's also, I feel like you get more done when you really work one-on-one with the patient, and I really like seeing how effective that is versus group counseling, but obviously I think both are very important to use together, so.
Yeah, and you can see also all of the marketing and all of that, you know,
yes.
You don't have to do that when you're working, you know, in a facility. There's
right.
other people that do that work for you.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it is. We just spent some time earlier this week looking through some of my client files and getting some things organized. And sometimes I have clients that return after, you know, a number of years. Mm-hmm. And so I keep files and I go back and pull them out. And that's sort of what we did. So anyway, our topic today is emotional overeating. It is actually, and as you know, I try and look up, you know, what may be prevalent in a particular month, and this month, emotional eating is one of the topics. So, wanted to provide some education in emotional eating, and I know for me, I tend to be an emotional eater. So, what that means is, I don't necessarily always eat just because I'm hungry.
Yes. I am a culprit too.
So we can eat because we're angry. We can eat because we're depressed. We can eat because we're happy. We can eat because we're bored. We can eat because we're frustrated and stressed out. And so if we're eating because of a feeling, then we are eating emotionally. And we have a huge problem in this country with being overweight and obesity. And, you know, I know that sometimes they'll say, you know, it's, you know, thyroid and genetic and all of that. Well, you know, yeah, there is some truth to that. And it's still emotional eating. I may come from a family where there's addiction, but that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm going to be an addict. I may come from a family that has, you know, a lot of people that are overweight, and I may have a very efficient metabolism. Have you learned about efficient metabolisms? I have an efficient metabolism.
I think I did, but just refresh.
Yeah. So an efficient metabolism means that that I need less wood to keep my fire hot.
Okay, got it.
Right. So if I eat, you know, people who don't have an efficient metabolism can eat meat and eat and are really skinny.
Fine.
Right. So if I eat the same amount that somebody who has a sloppy, you know, metabolism, I'll say that, you know, I'm going to gain weight because I have a very, then that is a genetic thing. It's, you know, everybody in my family is very efficient at burning calories, and so we burn them a lot slower than some other, people. I mean, that really is the case. So, you know, if I come from a family that may have that, and then also eating because I'm stressed out.
Yeah, anything. It runs in my family, too. My whole mother's side of the family, a lot of, most of them are obese, and that it's, the amounts they eat, it's just, it's crazy. But also I notice, because there, I have, like my, for example, my father, he's very thin, and he's a construction worker. He's gone from 7 in the morning to 10 o'clock at night, and he eats so much. It's just like, where does all this food go? And I notice that if my family's around, like especially my mother's family, like they'll see how much he eats. It's almost like they want to, they're trying to keep up with him.
Sure.
And they're eating more than their metabolism can handle. And while my father burns calories like nothing, they aren't going to be able
right.
to burn it like my father does.
Right. Maybe not as efficient.
Yes.
Yeah. And, yeah, I mean, that's in my family, and then we back that up in my family with diabetes. So, you know, that's, they tend to go hand in hand oftentimes. So, you know, here are just some questions. I go to Google just to, like, I don't create a whatever. I go to Google just to have things to sort of, you know, check off in my head, but eating when you're feeling stressed, you know. So a lot of times, you know, I'm not hungry, but I'm feeling really stressed. I have a lot of nervous energy, and that food is self-soothing, you know. We get messages, you know, as commercials, you know, sitting there like with the container of ice cream, like, you know, you look at that, it's like, oh, 4 servings, really? You know, and those little pints of ice cream. Yeah, and so, you know, it's like, well, when you're stressed, when you're feeling, you know, like, you know, your relationship is on the rocks, what do you do? I don't know, you go get ice cream. That's called emotional eating. Even though you're not hungry, or you keep eating when you're full, chances are...
Yeah, that's emotional eating.
Right. To help you feel better, to calm yourself, to soothe yourself. I don't know if I ever shared this with you, but I know I've shared it a couple of times, and I do share it with clients, that soft, sweet, like I want pasta, and I want, I want bread, and I want mashed potatoes, and I want ice cream, and
cupcakes,
and, you know, all of that sort of soft, sweet, oftentimes, interestingly enough, that's related to the need for nurture. Isn't that interesting? Because nurture, breast milk when we're children, formula is sweet and soft.
Oh, wow.
Right, isn't that interesting?
That is interesting.
But if you happen to be one of those people, I want my pretzels and my potato chips and hard, crunchy, you know, peanuts, chances are you may actually have an anger issue.
Really?
Right. Isn't that an interesting thing?
Wow.
So, you know, notice what you're... But you're eating, you know, and then it might be related to the, an underlying emotional issue.
And I'm going to be more observant of what I
do. Yeah, it's interesting. So, do you reward yourself with food? Aren't we taught that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, you did really well. Here's a cookie. Oh, you're...
Pizza.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, you're graduating. We're going to go out to dinner.
Yeah.
Oh, Easter. Oh, boy.
Easter's my favorite holiday because of the food my mother makes.
Yeah, it's, you know, and then we celebrate with Easter baskets filled with jelly beans and peeps and chocolate and Cadbury thingies, Cadbury. You know, I said to my husband, oh, he's so upset. I said, this year, no basket. I said, we don't need a basket. And he's like, and, you you know, it's like, it's, I mean, it's like, this is licorice jelly bean time. Are you kidding? That's like that, and the malted.
I know.
Right, you know?
Mr. Candy is my favorite
it's,
of all time.
Yeah, and so, yeah, exactly. So it's, you know, and you can't just buy a few to put them in the Easter basket. You buy a bag of them, and then of course, I don't know, for me and for the rest of you that are doing Easter baskets, you put it, you know, three in the bag and three in the mouth and three in the other basket and four in the mouth, and you know, and that's the way it goes. So yeah, rewarding ourselves with food. It's something we do at holidays. Eating is a very social.
It is. And even if you see on TV, I mean, I don't mean to give this example, but like the Kardashians, every time they're doing, they're always eating. They're sitting at a restaurant or sitting at the dinner table eating. Like, you see that in a lot of shows. Like, it's always in an eating environment.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And yes, we need to eat to live.
Absolutely.
It's really important. So sometimes eating helps us feel safe.
Yeah.
You
comforting.
Know, it's comforting. I know, like my mother's generation, my mother and father, they grew up during the Great Depression in the 30s and did not have a whole lot of food. And I have, I'm going to say, sort of fortunately, unfortunately, picked up the habit of stockpiling. So I have my own little pantry at home of things that are sort of go-to for cooking, you know, tomatoes and soup, canned soup and, you know, stuff like that. But so I don't necessarily just rely on the grocery store. But that's the thing, you know, it's, having a, you know, a lot of times people will stockpile because it helps them feel safe.
Yeah.
You know?
That's why a lot of, like, people who have eating problems, they'll have, like, a little drawer in their room where all their candy and chips and stuff are in. And even with our patients at a Carrier, like, we have some that have severe eating problems. Like, they cannot stop eating. They just keep going and going and going. And we literally have to, like, take food out of their hands. And then we have to do room searches, and we find in their rooms, like, all candy and extra snacks hidden everywhere, and it's bad.
Like, yeah.
Sometimes it's like, I'm scared they're going to pop.
Right.
That's how much they eat.
Wow.
It's scary.
It is scary.
And,
you know, there are conditions other than just emotional overeating.
Right.
And, you know, people who eat emotionally don't necessarily have huge weight issues. I mean, they don't necessarily.
No.
But then there are other issues that are strictly related to food and food addictions. We have bulimia.
Yes.
And that is when you
overeat. You eat, you don't eat, and then all of a sudden you binge eat and purge it.
Right, exactly. And so purging can be making yourself vomit, and purging can be taking lots and lots of laxatives. And, you know, sort of the idea is, well, I ate all that, but I'm getting rid of the calories. And a lot of times people who are bulimic may not look heavy.
No.
They may not even look skinny.
No.
And they look healthy, but it causes, they could rupture their esophagus, their teeth get all rotted out.
Hair loss,
exactly. Yeah, you know, the enamel on your teeth go, and like I know someone she's been through several sets of teeth, just really bad.
And also I used to notice on our bulimic patients, they'd get these little red dots all over their face because I guess from the force of making themselves throw up, it pops blood vessels in their face, so they have all these little red dots on their face.
Exactly.
That's
Yeah, that is another thing. And then the other thing, too, is it also causes malnutrition.
Yes.
Because your body's not processing all of the healthy vitamins and minerals. And then we have got anorexia. Do you guys have people that are anorexic at...
Yeah, we do. But, like, we have to have, for certain patients, they're called INO sheets, the intake and outtake sheets, so we got to document if they ate something for lunch, breakfast, dinner, and write how much they ate. And then if they're a bulimic patient, we have them, even the anorexic ones too, we have them stay in the lounge with us for at least 30 minutes. They cannot go in their rooms until the 30 minutes is up to prevent it as much as possible from them.
And a lot of times people with anorexia have what is called body dysmorphic disorder. So they look in the mirror and they go, oh my God, I'm so fat. You know, and they look like, they really look so unhealthy. And they're literally starving themselves to death.
Yes.
And a lot of times bulimia and anorexia and even chronic overeating can have basis in trauma. A lot of times there's been sexual trauma.
I think it's a lot of if they had, like, no control over their life. Mm-hmm. Had very controlling parents and stuff like that. It's like they have some sort of control by restricting what they eat. So
Exactly. So that, you know, that does tend to be an issue. So, and those things I just really kind of want to underscore are different from emotional eating.
Yes.
But I do, you know, I did want to give some information that, you know, there are disorders that are related to eating, you know, the bulimia, the
anorexia,
and they are real diseases and disorders that are lifelong. And so it's just learning, like any addiction, it's just learning how to monitor yourself and not slip back and relapse into old behaviors. And it's not easy because, you know, I'm going to say with something like alcoholism, I could give up alcohol. I'm not making it sound easy. But, you know, that's just one thing. But eating, you know, we have to eat.
Yes.
You know, and
we can't just cut eating out of our life.
Yeah.
We can't just cut alcohol out of our life.
Exactly. And, you know, I'm going to say just my personal opinion you know, restricting food can be an issue. So sometimes I get concerned when I have clients that are vegan and who are
there's like so many things.
Yeah.
They have like paleo.
Yeah.
They have
right. Exactly. Yeah. And so you know, it really is. Are you restricting because you really have a strong emotional, you know, or is there some other reason that you're restricting? Because that can be an issue.
Right. Yeah, like I had somebody I worked with at my old job. She started doing the paleo diet, and it just became such an obsession. She was weighing herself twice a day. Even when she went on vacation, she still followed her diet to the T, and then she was so upset that she gained 1 pound, and it's like...
Yeah.
Like, even though, you think you're doing something healthy, it could be... It's underneath.
It can be. It is damaging. So I need to take a little commercial break. And I'm Ruth Altamura Roll, your host for Counselor's Chat with Amber Polczyzinski. And we will be back after these few commercials.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rabcoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875. Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees.
As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Well, good afternoon and welcome back to Counselor's Chat. I'm Ruth Altamura-Roll, your host for today's program. Got my master's in counseling. I'm nationally certified as a counselor and a licensed professional counselor. And I'm here with Amber Poltrzycki. She is getting her master's in counseling and will be a licensed associate counselor. Then she's got to put in like 400 bazillion hours worth of time, and then she can become a licensed professional counselor. I will say licensed professional counselors have probably the most education in mental health counseling, and lots of supervision and lots of rules and laws and ethics, and it's a lot to do, a lot to know. So, you know, I'm really glad that you're joining our profession. I think you're going to be great at it, and I wish you really all the luck. So, anyway, today we are talking about emotional eating, and Amber, you work at Carrier Clinic, and it sounds like you've worked with some people that struggle with eating disorders and that kind of thing. And I also have had clients that come in and I've actually not worked with anyone anorexic. I really want them to go into a hospital. If someone is bulimic, I will work with someone who's bulimic if I feel they need to go into a hospital, because people die from these issues. But they're different from emotional eating. Emotional eating is not necessarily a disorder, but it can trigger a disorder. So oftentimes, emotional eating can be really powerful. It kind of is mistaken oftentimes for actual hunger. So I may feel actually a growling in my stomach, but it's really a stress reaction, and I mistake it for being hungry. It's so I'm misreading my body signals.
And also, isn't there something like in your brain that it's not letting you know you're satiated when you are, so you keep eating and eating, and then all of a sudden you feel like you're overfull?
Oh, yeah.
I've heard of stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. There is, well, technically, it takes about 20 minutes from our stomach to our brain to register that you're full. So part of what happens is if I eat really quickly, I can overeat before my brain goes, you've had enough. The other thing that happens is oftentimes we override it. So I'm not even listening to what my brain and or my body's telling me, because I might be maybe practicing an eating disorder, or I might be emotionally eating. That emotional eating is, I'm beginning to feel better. I am comforting myself with food. Sometimes emotional eating and emotional hunger leads us to specific foods, like I said earlier. So it's like chocolate or cookies or potato chips, or, you know, it's important, I think, to know. It says when you're physically hungry, almost anything sounds good, including things like vegetables. However, if you're eating emotionally, you may go for a sugary or salty food. So if you feel like you need cheesecake or pizza and nothing else will do, chances are
it's emotional.
Exactly. Can crave specific foods when you're emotionally eating. And then mindless eating.
Yeah, I'm bad with that.
Mindless eating.
Doing my homework and have like a bag of chips or something, and be like, oh wow, I just ate that whole bag.
Yeah, exactly. And so a lot of us do it, you know, going to the movies. Oh my gosh. Yes. You know, the movies set us up. You go in, the popcorn, you get the, and you're like this watching the movie.
And you don't even realize you're doing it.
No, you're not really tasting the food.
Yeah.
It's just this repetitive behavior, and that actually is emotional eating. You know, when you're just sort of doing that mindless eating, you're not paying attention, you're not really enjoying the food. It's
right.
Just part of the, it's like, I'm going to use my husband again. Sorry, Steve. He, like, going to the movies is not about the movie for him. Going to the movie is about getting popcorn and the movie. It is an emotional eating, and you've seen my husband. He's not Mr. Skinny. And so, I'm not Mrs. Skinny either, but you know, it is that, you know, that sort of that repetitive behavior. But, and think about it, repetitive behavior, self-soothing, rocking back and forth, that's a repetitive behavior. This is a repetitive, self-soothing
Absolutely.
Behavior where we're just sort of mindlessly eating. Mouthful after mouthful. And so you're typically not unaware of what you're eating, how much you're eating.
Right.
You know, mindful eating is a very different thing.
Yes, absolutely.
And we don't do that. Emotional hunger isn't usually satisfied once you're full, which is, you know, you mentioned that.
Yeah. And also, sometimes when people are emotionally eating, like, especially somebody who's very, like, rigid about, like, their, what they intake, like, the foods they eat, and then they have something bad happens, and then they eat, they're like, I'm in a horrible mood, I'm going to go get a piece of cake or get a pint of ice cream and eat it, and then after they eat it, they actually feel worse than what
right.
they felt before. So,
yeah, it really doesn't self-soothe.
No.
And emotional hunger often leads to, and you just led up to it, regret, guilt, and shame.
Yes.
Yeah, why did I eat all that? Now
yeah.
I'm feeling really sick.
Exactly.
Oh my God, I hate myself.
Yeah.
I feel so fat. Right.
Yep.
So it does nothing to help the self-esteem, does it?
It just helps for the moment you're putting it in your mouth and chewing and swallowing.
Yeah.
That's it.
Exactly. So, identifying emotional eating, what triggers it, you know, I think I mentioned, you know, feeling bored.
That's,
yeah.
I'm a culprit of that one.
Yeah, and feeling empty. So, feeling empty is very different than feeling hungry.
Yes.
Yeah, and so it's sort of a spiritual emptiness. You know, just feel kind of lost and alone and not connecting.
Like a partner or something.
Yeah.
And you're just like lonely or a companion.
Yeah. Food is a good companion.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a healthy way to handle food, but,
yeah.
You know, it is a companion. Stuffing our emotions, swallowing them down. It's called the Grief Recovery Handbook. I use it a lot with my clients, and it is based on grief and recovering from grief. It does not use those five steps of grieving by Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. It talks about other things that we do. And it has a little story in there, which I love. I share it with clients all the time. Little girl comes home from preschool. Her feelings are hurt on the playground. Her mom or grandmother, caretaker, says, "Here, have a cookie. You'll feel better." Setting the child up for a lifetime of feelings can be fixed with food. After eating the cookie, the child feels different, not better, is distracted from the feeling.
Exactly.
Right, exactly. And so that's what we're taught. Here, instead of, "That's okay, honey, that's okay, you're crying. Here, have a cookie, you'll feel better."
Right.
So childhood habits from learning that, can
carry on throughout your life.
Yeah.
You have kids and you do the same to them.
Yeah, absolutely. Becomes generational.
Yeah.
I mean, I know for myself, just the family dysfunction that I grew up in, that after I left home and I'd come home for a visit, even before I hugged anybody, I'd walk in the door, I'd open up the cabinet next to the refrigerator where the cookies and crackers were kept, and I'd start.
Yeah.
Because my anxiety level was so high, I didn't have any other tools on how to handle the anxiety. The first thing I did was I went for the cookies and crackers in my parents' house. That's definitely stuffing my feelings. Social influences can also be part of emotional eating. Getting together with people for meals is a great way to relieve stress, but am I using the food to relieve stress or the companionship?
Yeah, because you see what they're eating and then you want that and then maybe you want something else, so you get both and just
right.
Spiral.
Exactly. So, we can overeat in social situations out of nervousness. If I'm a little bit more of an introvert and I'm with a group of people, I know for me that a lot of times if I'm going to go to a conference or something, oh, my God, conferences, they're loaded with candy bowls on each table. And it's really a challenge to not
go and grab it.
And because, for me, I feel a little uncomfortable. I'm a fish out of water. All of these different vendors and speakers and whatever. And there's just always junk. There's stuff thrown on the table. It's just, it's incredible. And,
such a social convention.
Yeah. So stress is a huge area.
Yeah.
So finding ways to relieve stress is really important.
And I also notice, I feel like, I don't know if it's really true, but I feel like it is. A lot of people, like women, they'll use their period as an excuse
to
overeat. They'll be like, "Oh, I'm on my period, so I'm going to eat 5 donuts and this and that because I want sugar." And it's like, do you really crave that? Or is it just because that's like a thing that's known that people on their period want sweets and snacks and stuff? So, because I never really have any cravings like that.
I think a lot of times people do use
excuses.
Yeah. And it's like, and just using women again, because men don't get pregnant, but a lot of times women will not just put on 30-35 pounds, but will put on 60 or 80 pounds because I'm eating for two.
Yes.
There is a lot of stress and anxiety with being pregnant and is my baby going to be healthy? And, it changes the whole, it changes the whole dynamics of everything in your life. And so stress eating would be something that does happen.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And if you're unhappy at your job, if you're unhappy in a relationship, sometimes people will get married and put weight on.
Yes.
Because now we're comfortable.
Yes. Yes.
We're comfortable.
A lot.
Yep, exactly. And then there's, I don't know if they still call it this, but it's the College 20. Did you ever hear of the College 20?
I heard of the Freshman 15.
Okay, same thing.
Yeah.
Same thing. So, you know, now you're at school and you've got all of that food at the cafeteria and all of the different venues for getting food at college. And
you don't have mom telling you to eat your vegetables.
Exactly, exactly. And so you just...
Free-for-all.
It is. It's a free-for-all. You know, and so, and it's not like at home you'd go for lunch and maybe you'd get a sandwich, you know, your mom gives you a sandwich or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you go to the cafeteria like, oh, look, pancakes and waffles and bacon. And, you know, there's so much to choose from that you end up eating, overeating.
And nothing of nutritional value.
No, exactly. And like you said, studying and... Yeah. So, other things when we're depressed or lonely, sometimes we think we could feel better by eating, but reality is maybe we need to pick up the phone and call somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, make friends. Just some things to do to avoid emotional eating. Play with your cat or dog.
Yeah.
You know, go for a run or a walk. Yeah, read a book. There's so many things that we can do that is an alternative to eating.
Yes.
You know, get a hobby.
Mm-hmm.
And it is. I know it's like, oh, but nothing quite satisfies like a donut. Well, that's because
that's all you know.
Right. Exactly. And you've got to create a new habit.
Right.
Yeah.
Get yourself out because you don't even know what you might like because you haven't given a chance for anything else. So just getting out in the community and seeing what really grabs your interest. So
there's other things you could do if you're anxious instead of eating. You can dance.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big dance in the kitchen person. Squeeze a stress ball.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Again, go for a walk.
Sometimes I'll even go to the beach by myself during the summer. If I'm just like having a bad day, nobody's around. Fine, I go to the beach and I'll lay on the beach by myself. And that is so relaxing and therapeutic for me. So even just doing that. Some people are afraid of doing that, but it's okay.
Oops. Sorry. If you're exhausted, sometimes people eat because they're tired. I know for me that sometimes when I've overextended myself, I find that I seek out food.
Yeah.
And it's because I've overextended myself and I'm tired.
Right.
And I look for carbohydrates because I'm tired.
Right.
But the reality is we might need to take a nap, rest, just make a cup of tea.
Yeah, a bad thing that I do is when I know I have to wake up early the next day and I'm like anxious about not getting enough sleep, I tend to like, I'll stay up late and I'll like, I'm eating because I'm anxious. I'm like, I need to get to sleep and I need something to distract me and worse distraction. So that's another one that people can use.
Absolutely. Just looking at some of the things here, taking a bath.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, yep, Epsom salt. You're my kind of girl. Light some scented candles.
Yes. I love candles.
Yep, so, and that's something I love to do. Take a bath, light candles, put on some soft music, turn the bright bathroom lights on, you know, maybe have some kind of something with bubbles floating in the tub and just, you know, relaxing. So, you know, I could do that or I could have ice cream. Well, ice cream kind of sounds like it tastes better, but ultimately it really isn't going to
relax
me. No. Wrap yourself in a nice warm blanket.
Yeah.
You know, they actually are now making blankets for blanket therapy. They're
a weighted blanket?
Weighted blankets. Yeah, right, exactly.
A lot of our kids use them there. And it's actually, I thought it would make you feel like very claustrophobic because they're heavy. But it feels like somebody's hugging you. It's actually really nice. So.
Well, you know, here's the thing where I kind of make a connection. You know, the time in our lives where we are feeling the most secure and most protected, and all our needs are met, are in the womb, and it's warm and close, and you know, I mean, when I sleep at night, I sleep in a fetal position like this. You know, and a lot of us do that. Yeah, and you know, that warm weighted blanket really gives us a type of comfort that is very interesting. If you're bored, read a good book, watch a comedy show, go for a walk outside and explore the outdoors, pick up a hobby. Yeah,
definitely.
You know, this.
I feel like that causes more anxiety and depression.
Right. That is not, you know, a hobby. Gaming can actually be an addiction. So, be careful. Gaming and eating. I'm gaming and eating.
Yeah.
Gaming and eating. So not only am I not moving, I'm eating extra calories, and I'm so focused on whatever. Absolutely. So I'm going to take another commercial break, and we will be back in a few minutes with Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamura Roll, your host for today's program.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Oh, good afternoon, and welcome back to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamura Roll, your host for today's program. I have my master's in counseling. I'm nationally certified as a counselor, and I am licensed as a professional counselor here in the state of New Jersey, and I provide counselors chat to provide information, education, and remove the stigma around getting counseling. And, you know, if you go to Counselors Chat and on Facebook and follow me, you could see there's quite an array of topics that are related to good mental health. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and I am going to do a full-day workshop on May 11th. It's called Spring into Mental Health. It's the second one that I'm doing. I did one last year, and it was successful, and I'm excited about doing it this year. The focus is going to be a little bit more on addiction. If you are interested in looking into it, please go to Eventbrite, and you can sign up. It's $35 for the day, lunch is included, and it's going to be something that's, you know, you're not going to just sit and listen. It's going to be experiential also. And I'd love to have you come and join us for that day. Again, it's May 11th. You can also find it on Counselors Chat. So if you go on to my Facebook, Counselors Chat, you can find a link to the Eventbrite to sign up for the Spring into Mental Health, number two. So I'm here with Amber Polczyzinski. Easy, even if I get it correctly, she goes with it now. But anyway, and we're talking about emotional eating and just some of the keys when, you know, things you might not recognize about yourself in emotional eating. Stressed, bored, anxious, depressed, broken relationships, just sort of that mindless eating like that. excuse me. But there are things that you can do, and practice eating mindfully is one of them. And so it is really about noticing what you are eating, what it looks like, what it smells like, what it tastes like, what it feels in your mouth as you're eating it. And it actually can slow the process down.
Right. But it's also important to not let it, because I see this with a lot of people, like, let what they eat take over their lives. Like, when they get, like for me, I'll even use myself as an example. I was 45 pounds, 50 pounds overweight, and I lost the weight about 4 years ago. And when I first lost the weight, I was like obsessive, because I was an emotional eater. I ate so much. I just, like, I couldn't get satiated, or I just didn't realize I was satiated. And then when I finally lost all the weight, I became too obsessive about how mindful I was eating. Like, I wouldn't let myself have any sort of cheat meal. I only ate particular things, and I would always have to see the ingredients and stuff. Like, it, and it was just like taking over my life. I didn't have anything really else that concerned me except what I was eating, and I really had to like help break out of that cycle to know that it's okay to have a cookie once in a while. It's okay if I want to go out and have pizza one night a week. It's just, you still got to be mindful, but you can't be overly
true
about it.
That's true, because then it can shift itself into a disorder. But mindfulness is a really good practice when you're eating, and it really helps you focus on what you're eating. It means that you're calm while you're eating. A lot of times I also tell people who are eating emotionally, before you eat, have a journal, write down, I'm feeling really stressed right now, you know, I really want to hit that bag of chips, what are some other things that I could do? And, you know, you need to assess, am I really hungry? Maybe I really am hungry and I need to eat a meal. But, you know, it's practicing mindfulness. Just, I'm going to not eat in front of the television all the time. I'm going to actually set myself a nice place, you know. I mean, so often it's like you grab something, you sit in front of the TV, and with your dish like this, and you eat like that. That is not mindful eating.
Right. And another thing is, you might might feel hungry, but you might not be hungry. You actually might be dehydrated. So it's always
important
to drink a glass of water and see how you feel after you drink the water. If you're not hungry anymore, then you just needed water.
This is true. So you got that one right. So often people eat because they are thirsty.
Yes.
And we do not drink enough liquids. Yeah, water. And it doesn't have to be water, but water is the best.
Yeah.
But we oftentimes are dehydrated, and we associate that with being hungry. Take small bites, chew slowly, put your utensils down between bites. Really think about what you're doing and what the food tastes like and what it smells like, and you will just normally slow down the eating process.
Yeah.
It's suggested, 6 smaller meals. You know, we tend to think, oh, we got 3 meals and we got dessert. And I mean, I'm not good at a lot of the stuff that I talk about in terms of food. And a lot of that is just I'm being a counselor, taking care of my mom, being married, have a house. It's sometimes really hard to manage eating in all of that. One of the things that I do, what time is it? We're going to have to end in a few minutes. One of the things that I do is I pre-cook.
Yeah.
So, like, I will take Saturday or Sunday, and I will pre-cook a lot of meals. The only thing I don't pre-cook, it tends to be vegetables, because, they're really easy to steam. So I cook my vegetables fresh. So within 15 minutes, I've got dinner. Grab bagged salads for lunch.
Yeah.
Just try and keep it simple.
And also, I'm always on the run. I feel like I never have time to sit down and eat. So what I do is I make my shakes. I do my kale, spinach, fruits, and all that. And I just and protein powder, and I'll just have that. And it's a way, if you are really busy and you don't have time to sit down and eat something beneficial, just start making shakes. I make a giant thing for the week, and I just re-blend it up, and it's easier to take on the go.
Yeah, absolutely. So we are actually at the end of Counselor's Chat. Please go to Facebook, Counselor's Chat, like me there. You can find out more about the event on May 11th there. You can also find out more about what I do on Counselor's Chat, and follow me. Also look me up on my website, which is www.alterolcounselor.com. That's Alterol with 2 L's, counselor.com. It's a new web page. I'm excited about it. And I do a lot of work with people who are struggling with addictions, depression, anxiety, couples counseling. So please contact me if you're struggling with something, and seek out help. There's nothing wrong with getting a mental health wellness check. And you can also call me at 908-237-2899. That's 908-237-2899. I will be back next week with Counselor's Chat with Amber, and we will talk more about also mental health and May, which is coming up. So have a good week, and wish you all good mental health.
When friends are not enough and you are struggling with depression, anxiety, or addictions, it's time to seek out help. Mental health is one of the most important building blocks to a healthy life. Tune into Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon and listen to many topics that pertain to good mental health. With Ruth Altamura Roll, a licensed professional counselor, as your host, you will learn about many facets of good mental health. Let's remove the stigma. Go to www.alterolcounselor.net for more information about my practice. And please follow me on Counselor's Chat on Facebook. Remember, Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon. I wish you good mental health.